I'm going to open with a couple of verses for you. And this is from 1 Peter 4, and it's verses 10 and 11. And as I thought about you and your ministry, and I'm going to talk about it in just a minute, but your ministry, in whatever way, I know we've got some directors in here, we've got give leaders, we've got just different leaders in this room. But your ministry through Life Bible Studies is very, very important. And I'm going to encourage you in that in just a minute. But I wanted to start out with these couple of verses, okay? So 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, it says, just as each one has received a gift. And we know that if we're in Christ, we have been given a gift. You have been given at least one spiritual gift. So just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others. Use that gift or gifting to serve others. And I'm thankful that you're using your gifts to serve others. And then it goes on to say, if anyone speaks, and as leaders, we have lots of time, different opportunities to speak, whether it's through teaching or leading one-on-one or with our group, whatever it might be. But it says, if anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. God's words. And if anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides. And we've probably all been in ministry long enough to know that sometimes ministry can be very tiring. It can be tiring. It can be a good tired, but it can be tiring. And it says, if anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides. And then it goes on to say, so that God may be glorified. So that He may be glorified through our service. Through Jesus Christ in everything, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So God, He calls us into ministry, and then He equips us and gives us what we need to do ministry, to carry out ministry. All right, tonight's breakout is 60 Minutes and Beyond, Making the Most of Your LBS. All right. I'm going to change that title a little bit later. All right. So just be prepared. I'm going to change the title on you. I'm going to call an audible. But 60 Minutes and Beyond, Making the Most of Your LBS. Just a little bit about me. I talked to many in here. I'm from First Baptist Church, O'Fallon. We talked about that as in the opening in my introduction. But First Baptist Church O'Fallon is it's a military community. It's 3 miles from Scott Air Force Base. And at Scott, we have two major Air Force commands, the Air Mobility Command and the Transportation Command. And both commands are very involved in projecting military power worldwide. And that's one of the great strengths of our military through our Air Force is power projection. And so as I thought about tonight's topic, we want to project the power of Life Bible Studies beyond Sunday morning into the week. And so that's why I'm going to change the title on you in a little bit. But that's my senior pastor. That's Pastor Doug Munton. You've probably heard that name Munton somewhere before.
Yeah.
That's Don's brother.
Yeah.
Okay, one of Don's brothers. There's 5 brothers. And so that's Doug Munton. And Pastor Doug has been a senior pastor of our church for 26 years. I've had the blessing of serving on his staff for 20 years. So 19 of the past 20 years, I was the adult ministries pastor there, men's, women's discipleship. We call our Sunday morning small group Bible studies, we call them life groups. You guys call them life Bible studies. Don explained to me life Bible studies, Bible Central. It's in the middle between life and studies. He explained that to me. I like that name. But we call our small group Bible studies on Sunday mornings life groups. And let's see, I talked about it being a military, kind of a military community, lots of active duty in our church, which is very interesting because in many ways we're ascending church. Because military come and go. They rotate in, they rotate out. We get an opportunity to invest in them, disciple them, and so on, and then we send them out. So we have probably much more turnover in our membership than a lot of churches have, being a military church. So I want to say tonight, as I'm going through this material, if you want to ask a question or you want to discuss something further, don't be afraid to stop me and we can talk about it. All right? Yeah.
Can you reference the scripture that you used one more time?
Yeah. First Peter 4, 10 and 11. You're welcome. And then also, I was thinking about these conferences, these training times. You know, I've been to a lot of conferences over the years. Many of you probably have too. And there's just so much information. And you almost feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. And in a way you are, because there's so much coming. But what I would say, what I would recommend is take one or two or three things away from the evening tonight. Pray about, maybe think about what you were exposed to, pray about what the Lord might have you focus on, and then take one or two, three things and work on implementing those in your ministry. Don't try to implement everything that you're going to hear tonight, either in this breakout or the next. But try a few things and then add a few things. And I like to call it incremental improvement, movement in your life group, life Bible studies. Okay. So I just want to encourage you in that. All right. Well, I want to just start by saying that your ministry, the Life Bible Study ministry, is vital to the health and vitality of Houston First. I know our life groups are vital to the ministry at First Baptist Church O'Fallon. Very, very important. Webster defines vital as one of the utmost important, fundamentally concerned with or affecting life or living beings. And so I would use the term vital in describing the Life Bible Study ministry here. So Sunday school is of the utmost importance to your church and to your Life Bible, and your Life Bible Studies are fundamentally concerned with affecting the life of your members and guests for Christ. Now, I have a quote here from Tom Rainer. Several years back, Tom was president, CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, and he described himself as a Sunday school skeptic. Now, I can't imagine a president of Lifeway being a Sunday school skeptic, but that's what he thought, how he thought of himself. And then he wrote this. He said, "Any lingering doubts I had about Sunday school were erased when my research team and I conducted a survey of 576 churches in America. And I learned once again that leading churches in our nation value Sunday school in growing a church and assimilating members." Ken Brady, have you ever heard that name, Ken Brady, any of you? I think of Ken as like Mr. Sunday School in Southern Baptist circles. And Ken's the director of Sunday School and Network Partnerships for Lifeway and has a great podcast, a great website, just so much good information. So I think it's kenbrady.com. Highly recommend you check that out because he has so much good material. But I love this quote by Ken Brady. Ken Brady said, "Preaching to make disciples by itself without small groups, like your Life Bible Studies, is like going to the nursery and spraying crying babies with milk and saying you just fed the kids. Discipleship involves more than preaching and listening." And then David Francis, former director of Sunday School at Lifeway, he identified the percentage of transformational churches that use Sunday School as their primary discipleship strategy. And the results were impressive. 90% of churches identified as transformational, where people were becoming more and more like Christ, employed Sunday School as their foundational discipleship strategy. So Sunday school continues to be a strong foundational approach for making disciples. Some people think it's outdated. Some people think it's that was a fad in the past. But we know, because I know Houston First is a very strong Sunday school organized church, as is my church. We know how important it is and how important your role is. So your life Bible studies are needed today because they create a place for several important things to happen in making disciples. So I want us to think about what it means to be purpose-driven. Purpose-driven. Do you think that Houston First is purpose-driven?
Yes.
Okay, tell me why.
Everything we do is intentional.
Intentionality. All right. Other thoughts on why you feel Houston First is purpose-driven?
It's our mission to be a biblically relevant community.
Mission to be biblically relevant. All right. And you use that important term, community, which is an extremely important term for the church, for small group ministry. Okay? Any other thoughts?
We're a missional church.
Missional.
Out in the community and local and foreign missions.
Awesome. Awesome.
With the intention of growing and expanding, serving the kingdom.
The expectation of growing and serving the community. Okay? All right? Anybody else?
We have substantial, just to tag on, we have a very substantial mission ministry. I was chairman of the Mission Council recently, and I can tell you that everything that's proposed goes through a filter about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not just relationships, right? It's this. What's the mission of the church?
And that's about focus, and that's so important. Yes, sir.
A very generous church.
A generous church.
All over the world.
That's awesome. Okay.
A clear vision and focus communicated by leadership, by pastor.
Okay. And that's so important. From leadership is a clear vision. Very good. So when we look at the early church in the book of Acts, reflect on Jesus' great commandment and great commission, and I'm standing in your way, we see five fundamental purposes of the church. And discipleship, evangelism, ministry, worship, fellowship. Five purposes of the church. And sometimes I think of those as spokes of a wheel. And in order for the wheel to function properly, each of those spokes, we need to pay attention to them in the church. And of the five, and I was going to show you the great commandment, we see these five purposes reflected there. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. A reflection of worship. One of the five purposes. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ministry. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Then there's the Great Commission. And Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Evangelism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the fellowship of the church. Teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Discipleship. And remembering God's work, His of the past is a form of worship, I believe. I am with you always to the end of the age. So we see these five purposes reflected in the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So of those five, have you guys seen this before? Have y'all seen this before? Okay. Of the five purposes, which of those five do you think happens best in life Bible studies? What do you think? What's that?
Fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Any others?
Discipleship.
Ministry. Evangelism. Perhaps you could make the argument.
Worship is,
yeah,
is kind of questionable. I mean, sometimes there is, but that's not the primary focus.
Right. One might argue that worship perhaps happens best when the church is gathered corporately in a worship service. But four of the five purposes happen best in small groups, in life Bible studies. And so your ministry is vital to the health and vitality of the church and the church's ability to fulfill, carry out the Great Commission. So I just want to encourage you in that. Your ministry is so important. Thank you for being involved in the Life Bible Study ministry. So here's the new title I've given it, all right? Projecting the Power of Life Bible Studies Beyond Sunday Morning. Now, you're looking at a retired Air Force guy here. And I started thinking about how I wanted to organize my material for tonight's breakout. And I started thinking about projecting power. I mentioned the two major transportation commands that are at Scott Air Force Base, which I'm very familiar with. I've been around AMC, Air Mobility Command, a lot of my career. I thought, what are the basic things that it takes for the military to be successful at projecting power worldwide? And can I draw an analogy of those things for Life Bible Study? And so I've organized my presentation tonight around elements that are essential for projecting military power worldwide, and then drawing an analogy for those things that we can do to project the power of Life Bible Studies Beyond Sunday Morning. Okay, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's see how this goes. So the first is logistics. Logistics. And some of you in here may work in the area, in the field of logistics. Logistics are super important. To the military, the ability to integrate air, land, and naval forces is the key to power projection. This includes using aircraft carriers, strategic bombers, and ballistic missiles and submarines. So, logistics refers to managing how resources are acquired, stored, and transported to their final destination. Logistics. So, here's my question for you. What resources has the Lord blessed your Life Bible Study with? Think about your Life Bible Study. What resources has the Lord blessed your Life Bible Study with?
Great teachers,
gifted teachers, okay, that are discipling, that are teaching God's Word. All right.
Great mobilizers.
Mobilizers? Mm-hmm. All right. Mobilizers. Encouragers. Mobilizing people to use their gifts. Okay.
And great support from the church overall, right? Just from the giving, you know, there's a certain budget that goes with different opportunities, different projects that we might want to do, different retreat events, things like that, training opportunities.
Okay.
The church is very good about supporting that.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Other resources?
Yeah, people that are faithful to come.
Faithfulness, faithful people, faithful members. Okay.
Lifeway Bible lessons.
Material.
Yeah.
Bible studies, Bible study material. Yeah. Great. So, yes.
Testimonies around of your fellow members.
Okay. Testimonies. Those are so powerful. And I'm going to talk about building community. And hearing other people's testimonies are very, very powerful in building a strong community.
Diversity and authenticity.
Okay. Diversity and authenticity.
There's something about the administrative aspects that if it goes well, it really makes a big difference.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. Uh-huh.
And we often have a baker in our group that loves to share there.
Hey, that doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. So I thought of some resources that you all have.
Leadership.
Okay. Opportunities for communication. application-oriented Bible studies, care groups. I'm going to talk about those in a little more detail a little later in our time together. The resource of community, administration. Some of these have been already talked about. Compassion within the group. And then spiritual gifting. So logistics involves marshaling, using the resources that you have to carry out tasks. And so one of the ways that we can project the power of our life Bible studies into the week is understanding the resources that we have and using those resources to help impact the lives of our members beyond Sunday morning. Okay? Any other thoughts, questions on that? So take an inventory of your resources and then ask yourself, how can I use these resources to project the power of my group beyond Sunday into the week?
The spiritual gifts thing. So something that we're doing with our class is Houston's First, because I'm a member here. We sponsor a spiritual gifts assessment that is free. The church pays for it, but it's free for people to go and do. And it's really eye-opening, and it's very like spot on with being able to identify where your spiritual gifts are at. And in our life Bible study class, we've been encouraging members to take that so that it can open up their eyes to what spiritual gifts the Lord has blessed them with. And then we also have a lot of volunteer opportunities, as I was sharing with you, that I help kind of organize. And we're helping people get plugged in to serve so that they can see, you know, where they can put those gifts to use. Right?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great. So is it like online?
It is online. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a similar thing at our church, too.
Additionally, Joanne, our host, and her husband teach spiritual gifts on Wednesday nights.
Okay. All right.
That's great.
Very good. All right, so we talked about logistics. The next area is forward basing, pre-positioning military units and supplies at strategic locations outside a country's borders can reduce the time and distance needed to mobilize them. So as we think about projecting the power of life Bible studies beyond Sunday morning into the week, I believe the forward basing of your groups falls on the strength of the relationships within your group. Relationships. It's kind of the forward basing of life Bible studies. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10, it says, two people are better than one, as they can help each other up if they fall. The deeper the relationships, the stronger your group will become. You may have already experienced that, but relationships are super important. So I was thinking about relationships, and I was thinking that a goal for your life Bible study would be to lead your group into deeper relationships with one another so that perhaps every person in your group could find a 2 a.m. friend. A 2 a.m. friend. Now, what do you think a 2 a.m. friend is?
You call them when there's an emergency.
Nothing good happens at 2 a.m.
So that's right.
Gonna pick up the phone.
That's right. Somebody that's going to be there for you, that knows they have your best interest in mind. They're not going to judge. They're going to shoot straight with you. They care about you. They're going to listen carefully to what you're dealing with. A 2 a.m. friend. And so I thought that would be a great goal, would be to lead your life Bible study so that you have deep enough relationships so that everybody in your life Bible study has at least one 2 a.m. friend.
A good way to vet that, too, I think, would be with grow groups. That's something that we do. We have groups that break out during the week where we study different devotional books together. And we usually separate it by gender, of course. The girls will break up into however many you want to participate. No more than, like, let's say, five per group, men and women, separate, of course. And then that's where I think we're able to really develop deeper relationships with one another, right?
Yeah.
Grow outside of class.
Yes.
And that's where I think we would be able to identify those 2 a.m. friends.
That's good. That's good.
The way to test it is to start calling.
Yeah.
Do not disturb.
All right, 2 a.m. friends, people you can call on anytime, especially when you're going through a difficult time, and know they'll be there for you. They are people you can trust, depend on, and grow with. Some characteristics of 2 a.m. friends. I didn't mention this, and I'm sorry. I don't have a note taker, obviously. I do have copies of my lesson with the detail and what I'm presenting. So I love that you're taking notes. Obviously, feel free. There's a place in your booklet to take notes. I see you. Some of you are doing
could
that.
Could I bug you for the slides, too?
If you can get me your email afterwards, I can get you the slides.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. So I'm sorry I didn't mention that earlier. Characteristics of 2 a.m. friends, unconditional love. They'll support you without judging you. Empathetic listeners, they listen to you without trying to fix everything. Reliable, you can count on them to be there for you and accepting. They'll accept you for who you are. Those are just some characteristics that came to my mind of 2 a.m. friends, all right? So, my question is, how can you help the members of your LBS make 2 a.m. friendships and strong relationships with others in your groups? What are some of your thoughts? I heard grow groups. I love that. Does every LBS have grow groups?
No.
Okay.
Some aren't the size, yeah.
Okay. So what are some ways that you can lead your LBS to develop deeper relationships?
Just the way you teach. I mean, if it's a lecture, it doesn't foster table talk or whatever, then, I mean, you just come in and listen and leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, discussion-based teaching where everybody gets a chance to contribute and everybody is hearing from many others in the group what's on their hearts, what they've learned about a particular passage, and that develops deeper relationships. You get to know each other better through that.
So something else we do, I organize a lot of volunteer events for our class. We do a lot of like sports activities, volunteer activities, and that in itself has also fostered a lot of like strengthening of relationships.
Okay.
As well.
Good.
You know, people get to see each other, you know, outside of class, and it's a little casual conversation, right?
Yeah. One of the things, we're an older group, of course. We're the oldest in our church, and friendships, they come in and we're friends, but let one of them get sick or let one of them go to the hospital and you're there for them and you sit with them while they're having surgery. It's more of a bonding than anything.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you're friends forever with that person.
Yep. When you go
through. They can call on you if they need you and we're there for them.
I love that.
People are very important when they get our age because a lot of them can't get out as much anymore. They can't do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Or they're in the hospital or nursing home or whatever.
Our oldest Sunday school teacher's
96 next month.
He's Ben's teacher.
I love that.
He's still there.
I love it. I love it.
I also have an older class, a direct one, that's widows.
Okay.
And women who worship alone. And we draw a name. Who's there, I have their names, and they draw. And they talk at the end about what can I pray for you about. Mm. And you just get to really know them closer that way. And they usually call each other during the week.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Prayer partners and things like that.
Prayer partners. Okay.
I think as directors, it's super important that the class gets together and sees each other outside of science.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's super important because I think the only way you're going to make a 2 a.m. friend is if you have that trust. And the only way that you're going to build trust is consistency over time, because no one's going to just, as men, right, specifically, right, we're not going to just open up the first time, unless there's something, you know, that just super compels, but there's going to be kind of a leadership bank account or capital, right, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow the more that you encounter people and you open up and you trust and you do these events, and that way, if you see a brother falling, you have some credibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just some guy that you've seen, you know, a handful of times on Sundays.
Yeah.
And he's calling you out on something. And it's an accountability thing.
Yeah.
But I think it only happens after you're building that over a period of time. And, you know, and it happens outside of these four walls majority of the time.
Because you're limited with your class time.
Yes, it goes by so fast.
We go out to lunch the last Sunday of every month, and yeah. we may end up sitting there over 2 hours, mm-hmm. just repeating.
Yeah.
I think there's two other things. I think as well as like being with your friends when they're going through hard times, is celebrating celebrating
yeah.
everything that's happening in their lives, and testifying what the Lord is doing. Mm. We do a time of testifying in our class, and then. Just creating a safe space. So confidentiality is a big one that we talk about within our class, so that people feel like they can build friendships and trust each other with the confidentiality that we share, like things like that.
Man, this is a great group.
Right?
Lots of great responses. Great. Yeah.
I was going to say, we've said when it was conversations or being outside of the group. But the cool thing about all that is that 2 a.m. friendships are the best friendships when they have the most important thing in common, and that's Christ. And so
yeah.
I say, like, in our young adult group, like, we have so many weirdos, including myself, right? We're all a bunch of goofy guys, goofy people. We have not a lot in common outside the group. But in our reality, the most important thing we have in common is Christ.
Oh, so man.
That binds all things together because of the love that he shows for all of us.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That is foundational. One thing that I've found too, that's right along those lines, is allowing people to share their testimony. Maybe once a month you ask a member of your LBS just to share their testimony, how they came to Christ. Because often in our small group Bible studies, we know other members, but we don't know their spiritual journey. We don't know how they came to Christ. And sometimes we think they're believers, they're fellow believers, but we don't know for sure. And so hearing their testimony forms a strong bond when you've heard their testimony, you know they're your brother or sister in Christ. Went on a mission trip to Cuba just before Christmas with our church. And it was, we worked at a Baptist camp in Cuba. And I don't speak any Spanish. Nobody on our team spoke Spanish. Probably higher than 80% of those that we were serving alongside of in Cuba spoke no English. But we had the best time serving together, serving for the Lord, working together. And there was that common bond because we were believed brothers and sisters in Christ. Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Very, very important. There were some things that came to my mind. You've touched on many of these, but foster open communication in the group. Right? Engage in meaningful discussions. You've already talked about that. Allow people to share personal insights. Model active listening, leaders. Because active listening, sometimes we aren't always the best listeners. But you need to be an active, good listener to develop a strong relationship with somebody, right? So model that in your group. Respect differing viewpoints within the group, okay? And then build trust and support. You guys have talked about it already. Pray together. And on Sunday mornings, you know, there's always the danger of prayer overtaking the Bible study time. You have to be careful on that. But prayer time's important to praying together. And we hear other people's hearts when we hear them pray. And what's at the top of their heart when they're praying. All right. Support each other through challenges. Talked about that. Celebrate successes. So that's important. Create opportunities for connection. Socialize outside of Sunday mornings. And connect with members individually. So as leaders, yes, sir?
We also celebrate not just kind of successful things that go on, but when someone takes on a volunteer position or a ministry position or doing something like that, we celebrate it.
And that's good.
We recognize it. We celebrate it. We pray for them. And that's a good practice.
That's a very good practice. That's right.
I think it's a little funny. Like, it's almost like someone's, you know, listening in and typing these slides just for some of the answers. It's kind of funny how that happens.
It's pretty neat. Thank you. prioritize mutual respect and care. Openly practice forgiveness. Be honest and trustworthy. Especially as leaders, man. Eyes are on you. Be kind and compassionate. And then offer ministry and support. And that kind of fits with our keynote and what he was talking about as far as being kind and compassionate. A lot of these do, but being kind and compassionate, not just to the givers, but to the takers, right? Because Jesus, we want to see people through Jesus' eyes, okay?
How do you handle in a mixed class for doing some of this stuff for a man with a woman or woman with a man? What's your counsel on that?
So if you're going to counsel in any way, then it should be a man with a man, woman with a woman. If you're going to take somebody out to lunch, that's obvious. It's going to be the man takes the man out to lunch. If it's a couple's class, you and your wife invite the couple over for supper or whatever it is. So yeah, you want to be careful about that.
But just kind of going through all of these things, yes, but it needs to be structured.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you need to have resources that can, handle everyone.
And that goes back to training your leaders.
Yeah, delegation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and got to be able to identify who wants to serve.
I'm going
to
talk about care groups and delegation. You have a spiritually mature woman. Janice is going through a struggle, and it's something that, it's a struggle. It's an area that as a man, even though you're the LBS leader, that you shouldn't be counseling on that. Well, then that spiritually mature woman, the resources, we talked about logistics, you marshal those resources and you ask if she would go out to lunch or maybe meet with this woman and come alongside of her and help her. So those kinds of things. But yeah, you have to be careful on that. All right. The next one is light and mobile units. Light and mobile units. Airborne forces such as paratroopers and air assault forces are designed to be light, mobile, and agile. And when I thought about light and mobile units and how they might relate to your life Bible studies, I thought of care groups. Now, do you all have care groups in your LBSs?
It depends on the size.
Okay.
Like, I'm lead a special needs parents life Bible study. And so we only have 20 some odd that show up. Sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 25.
Okay.
Usually when we have a social on Sunday morning is when we have 25. But we have, we don't have care groups. We're all kind of one group because just based on the size.
Okay.
My class is at 8 a.m., so I don't need care. That's why we love the class.
So one thing that distinguishes a healthy Sunday school or small group ministry from a struggling one is a commitment to caring for every person in the group. Very, very, it's ministry. It's one of the purposes, right, that we talked about earlier. So it says in first, and I used 10 when I opened our session together, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So care groups can be the key to creating a caring community in your groups and projecting the power of connection and ministry beyond Sunday morning. So I want to talk a little bit about care groups. When your LBS has a care group ministry, it means that each person is assigned to a care group and that every care group has a leader. The mission of the care group and the job description of the care group leader are identical. And it can be as simple as 5 words. Contact every member every week. You don't know how powerful, maybe you do. That's powerful. And you might be thinking, well, Tom, don't you mean contact every absent member every week? No, that's not what I mean. Contact every member every week. That's the job of a care leader. So whether you have a group of, I don't know what your smallest LBS is, 10, 15, 20, I don't know. But however small it is, organize your group with care groups. You don't have to make it complicated. Keep it simple. And your care group leaders, like a care group leader for every 2 to 3 people, or if it's a couples class, a care group leader for every 2 to 3 couples. And all they do, they're not reaching out and saying and encouraging attendance. Hey, you know, they might say we missed you, but that's not the point. It's checking in on, okay, how can I be praying for you? What's going on in your life? It's great to talk with you, whatever it might be, but very important to stay to keep the group connected. The care group leader can contact members face-to-face, by phone, by email, by text message, on special occasions like a birthday, send a birthday card, something like that. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it can strengthen your group tremendously. Okay? And these contacts, when are they done? They're projected beyond Sunday morning into the week. All right. Yes, sir.
And to be clear, I assume so that there should be a woman, you should be texting the woman and the man.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Tom, I'll tell you, me and my wife, we send birthday cards to our people in our class, and some of ours are single moms with special needs kids, and they've got a rough road.
Yeah.
Some of them have said they've never received a birthday card in their life until we sell.
Wow.
And so just that little thing meant so much to some of our people.
Sure, sure.
It's just... Happy birthday from Root Builders, Jeremy and Lindsay, and Kyle and Alyssa. And that was it. And put a stamp on it, and we do it every month.
Yep. That's more powerful than you really realize. Yes, sir.
We don't have care groups as such, but our teachers contact all the members every week.
That's great.
Because of the age group that we have.
Okay.
So, one of the things I was thinking about, the visitors that come in, we've got older groups, and they're all talking to each other, and they don't even notice when a visitor comes in. And so we have somebody, one of us, or the directors, or somebody, to make them really feel at home and, you know, welcome the visitor, because I know the members are there, but the visitor may never
cluster.
They may never come back.
Just naturally cluster, yeah.
The Texas says they welcome from the time they come in that restaurant till the time they leave, and they keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Despite the bill.
Yeah.
I think it's important as leaders. I think everybody's got, you know, full-time job or some other commitments, and that they're taking their time in their life. And you know, I've caught myself, you know, man, I, you know, that guy doesn't need a text message. He needs so much more. I'm not even gonna waste my time. But not waste my time, but you know, not even. I didn't want to never. It seemed like I'm half, you know, button it right.
So, yeah.
I think just as leaders, just never underestimate just the little things. And they can have such a profound, they can also be the segue. You know, someone could be praying for a sign, right? And just a text message from you out in the blue can just open up the door. And I think it's just, that's more self-convicting than anything. It's just, hey, sometimes all you can do is all you can do, but sometimes all you can do is enough.
That's right. That's a good word. That's a good word. Yeah. Okay. Good. And then the next projecting air power is alliances, having alliances. And a lot allies are more likely to support. This is a no-brainer, right? Allies are more likely to support U.S. military operations than non-allies. All right. So let me ask you the question, this question. Who are your allies at Houston First?
Don Mutton.
Don Mutton, your pastoral staff, the pastor over your LBS. Close ally, okay?
Ben Pritchard, he's over adult 3.
Who's that?
Ben Pritchard, he's over.
I got to have supper with him tonight. All right, what other allies do you have here?
Our pastor.
Your pastor, your lead pastor.
He's on people's arms every time he goes down.
Okay.
Give him a touch.
Okay.
And you lift.
Touch is powerful. Mm-hmm. It's powerful.
Other LBS leaders.
Thank you.
Right.
Each other.
Yeah, going to key leaders meeting.
Yeah. That's what I love about training like this, because at our church, and I'm sure at the church this size, you're going in so many different circles. You often don't see so many of the other leaders. But I looked around in that worship center. That was awesome. I don't know, 500, 600 people in there that are here for training tonight, adult leaders or potential leaders. So, yeah, you have each other as a resource, okay?
For those of us who have families, we work with, like, the next-gen pastors, too, and the next-gen staff. If we know something's going on with their kids, we can help them through that.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget about the other ministry
areas.
All right, good.
When you say each other, it's not just those that have a designated title. You know, you're a care group leader, or you're the greeter, or you're the whatever.
Right.
I could go to anyone in the class and ask them to do something, and they're my ally.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's right. The members of your class hopefully are your allies. Okay. All right. Infrastructure. Modern, reliable infrastructure is essential for military operations. God has blessed your LBS with infrastructure. And when I think about the infrastructure that He has blessed your LBS with, it's your members. It's your members of your LBS. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the infrastructure is those that God has led to your group. When I think of Sunday morning small group Bible studies, I really believe that no one in your group is there by chance. It's a divine appointment. There's a reason for every person. There's a reason God has every person in your group. It's not by chance. And so when we think about infrastructure, it's like, I wonder why God led Sam to my group. Work on finding out. Work on understanding Sam's, I often talk about shape for ministry. Have you ever heard that? Shape. Know the spiritual gifts the Lord has blessed your group with and the shape of each member. Shape. How many have heard of shape? Okay. Shape. Spiritual gifts. How's that? What spiritual gifts does that person have? Does Sam have? What is he passionate about? Where's his heart? How about abilities? No, Sam's a good carpenter. I just found that out. And now we have a widow in our group that needs help with her house. Sam has that ability, personality, that will direct the type of ministry. Perhaps not everybody can be a good greeter based on their personality and then their experiences. So the infrastructure of your class, work on getting to know the members of your class better. And how God has gifted them, how God has shaped them for ministry. There's an inventory that you can get. You could ask Don Mutton or whoever your pastor is over your LBS. And you could actually administer the shape inventory to your group. And it's exciting to discover what infrastructure the Lord has brought to your LBS. Okay?
Something called the sweet spot effect, and includes going through a quiz or something like that, and it identifies sweet spots where you are just naturally inclined to work in a particular area, and it's very, very powerful and fits very beautifully with spiritual gifts.
Great. So there's different tools out there. Yeah, there's different tools out there for it. All right, so pray about, determine how you can use each member's shape to project the impact of your group into the week. The next area is doctrine. Military doctrine is a set of principles that guide the actions of military forces to achieve national security goals. We know that sound biblical doctrine is crucial to our Bible studies because it acts as a guiding framework for interpreting Scripture, for ensuring that teaching is aligned with the truth of God's Word and protecting against false teaching. So I thought of this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. That's the importance of teaching sound biblical doctrine. And that is an essential role of LBS, of discipleship. Okay. So essentially, sound biblical doctrine allows for deeper study, application of the Bible based on reliable interpretation. Military bearing. Leaders should maintain strong military bearing to instill pride and confidence in their soldiers. When I thought of military bearing and its equivalent to our small group Bible studies, I thought of holiness. Commonly defined as being set apart. God is holy and that he is set apart from everything that is not God, and God's people must be holy by being set apart from sin. And so in 1 Peter 1:14-16, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Okay? Counterpart to military bearing, holiness. So what can you do as an LBS leader to support holiness in your group? Talk often about holiness. Set the standard for holiness for your group. Be prepared to lovingly confront sin in your group. That's not always easy. But be prayed up and be prepared to do it. The goal is to promote holy living in the 24/7 lives of our members. And then finally, technology. To avoid technological surprises, basic research should be balanced with applied technology. Technology is a force multiplier. And I thought of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We jump down to verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. We are created in the Creator's image. So we are creative. We are creative. So be creative in the use of technology in your LBS. What are some ways that you can use technology to project the power of your life Bible study into the week beyond Sunday morning?
Well, we use an app called GroupMe, and that's how we stay connected. We have these various channels that we set up, and this is how we stay connected. We set up different committees within that to where somebody's a part of, like, the Give or the Grow, and or we'll set up a specific event where we'll get people roped into it that'll help plan so that people will voice chatter in, like, the main channel. I publish a calendar of all the events that are going on for the upcoming month, every single month at the beginning of each month, so that people have an idea of what the forecast looks like, what events might be coming up, things like
that. Okay, different programs, different platforms to keep people connected, Facebook. Like, I know our planning center has capabilities. We use plan. I don't know what program you all use here, but to keep groups connected, what other technologies can we use to help project the power of our LBS into the coming week? Any thoughts?
Well, you got email,
text.
You got phones. Yeah, you can text.
Yep.
Email, old-fashioned telephone.
Old-fashioned telephone, old-fashioned pen and paper, write a card, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to say it depends on what kind of technology. If you have cars, you know, why not go out and proclaim the gospel? Hey, I'm going to do this. Let's go together.
Yeah. But is it a Tesla?
Yeah, I will.
There's some neat videos we'll share too. If somebody comes across a podcast or let's say YouTube video, we might share that as well. So we like to do that, just to pass on encouraging messages.
Okay. All right. So don't be afraid to use technology, and think about how you might leverage technology to extend the reach of your LBS into the coming week. So we've talked about logistics, take an inventory of your resources, and then ask yourself, how can I use those resources to project the power of my group beyond Sunday? Forward basing, we talked about 2 a.m. friends, the power of relationships, light and mobile units, care groups, right? You don't necessarily even have to call them care groups, but organize your group to care. And it can be as simple as contacting every member every week.
That's something we do. And we have four classes, and big classes, and they write down on a prayer sheet their prayer requests. Maybe one of the members of the family sick, or their grandson's sick, or they're going in for testing. And I compile them all, and then we email the whole department, whether they're there or not there. And every week they get those prayer requests that they can be praying for the people
That's good.
In the department that are sick or need something.
That's good. I like that. I like that. Talked about alliances.
Technology.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Either Google Video, Google Meet, or Zoom, or something like that. It's really easy to make connections during the week. I mean, Houston's a big city. We're all kind of spread out and everything. But it's really kind of easy to, to have face-to-face almost kind of communication during the week. And we've done that many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Talked about infrastructure and your infrastructure. What did I say was your infrastructure in your LBS?
People.
Your people.
Amen.
An understanding how God has gifted your people. Okay, and then doctrine, military doctrine, teaching sound biblical doctrine, military bearing, equated that to holiness in your group, and then technology, marshaling technology.